Call to order this February 17, 2020, meeting of the University Heights, Cleveland Heights Libraries. Fiscal Officer, take the role, please.
Ms. Carlisle.
Yes.
Ms. Crenshaw.
Yes.
Ms. Llewellyn. Mr. Gerbach. Ms. Iwamoto.
Yes.
Mr. Russo.
Here.
Mr. Tarakia.
Here.
I do certify that the notification of this meeting of the Library Board of Trustees has been made.
We have some guests here tonight, some new pages. Matt Kowalski, raise your hand. Don't be shy. Simone Beard, welcome. All right. We have Youth Services Department Nathan Gideon.
Hey.
Welcome. All right. And we have Melia Beer. Welcome. From the Staff Association, we have Colin Marshall, and we have Sue Jansen from the Foundation, from the Foundation, and Betsy Tracy from the League of Women Voters tonight. If anybody has any questions or has anything they want to say, just give me a high sign, and we'll let you say your piece, okay? All right. We have minutes from the January 21 meeting. Board members, you should have gotten them in the electronic package. Sent around.
For the motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion is approved.
All right. Since Dana's not here to hand off the operations committee, I will hand it off to you, Debbie. Can you take us to the front?
If you go look at page 2, the bank statement summary for the month. One thing I wanted to point out, as the new year has started, the interest rates have started going down. At the end of January, it was 1.79, and previously we had money in both Star Ohio and Star Plus, and Star Ohio is at 1.79, and before the end of the year, I pulled almost $2 million out of Star Plus and moved it into the Star Ohio account because there was almost 0.05% difference in the interest rate. Star Plus is a little bit slower to react to the market, whereas Star Ohio is slower to react to the market than Star Plus. They buy longer interest, so we're going to keep an eye on that. The next page, you'll see that we have $6.8 million in general fund out of $15 million, and over the next few months, remember, at the end of last year, we transferred $4 million from general fund into building and repair. And what I've done proportionally, when the interest is booked at the end of each month, I'm splitting it between general fund, building and repair, and technology. And I've always done that, but now, because of the fact we have so much in general fund, we're getting more interest in there to add to it. The next page shows a comparison of January's from year to year. We're up a little bit over the tax advance that we got last year, but down from the previous year. So it just depends on when people pay their taxes. Nothing out of the ordinary in the monthly expenditures. On the next page, the pro rata, showing that we had 9.3% of the year go by, and our revenue is 9.06, and our expenditures are 8.6. No real activity in any of the special revenue funds, as we're awaiting to see what happens with any grant applications that are out there. Building and repair fund, we haven't really started much since the beginning of the year, but we have a lot. There's $726,000 encumbered from our sorter, our waterproofing, and the chiller that's going in here in a few months. So we have a lot of money tied up. And then on the last page, Washington Boulevard. That one going pretty steady. Any questions on anything? I have a motion to approve the financial reports for January. Second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Next item we have on the agenda is to approve the membership of the library as an institution with the Ohio Library Council for annual dues of $11,459.
Nancy, could you just remind us the history of this?
The Empire Library Council is our professional organization, and the short story is that anything over $10,000, the board has to approve if it's a new expense, and we did not join as an institutional member last year in protest their dues structure, and the fact that they also charge individuals for their individual dues as well as the institutional membership. We had many talks with them, and they listened. They didn't change it, but we want to be good citizens, so we are joining again. And I hope that they will put me on the dues committee so we can straighten this out.
Have a motion? Have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Ms. Carlisle?
Yes.
Ms. Crenshaw?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. Russo?
Yes.
Mr. Turakian?
Yes.
Next item in the agenda was presented to you at the committee meetings with several different upgrades for security and safety within our buildings, putting in access control so exterior doors can be locked from a single point without having to go physically lock the doors. We're looking at putting window film on the entrances and the glass areas within the buildings. We're looking at joining a monitoring system that can send out text messages to all staff instantaneously when incidents occur. And we're also looking at getting security trained in the use of pepper gel during incidents.
So we received a briefing on this from Kevin Eccles at our last committee meeting, you'll recall, and some of the logic behind implementing these new procedures. There's nothing particularly dramatic that's happened, but this is the state of the art where institutions that are open to the public like we are going in order to provide these sort of protections in a, from a centralized location. So that's really the impetus behind the whole thing. And Kevin gave an excellent and thorough presentation of all of it to us. You're basically seeing the Cliff Notes version of it, but we were comfortable that it's going to help the library a lot to have those protections in place. And I don't want to say it was a long time coming. We're doing it at the right time. So.
These will be in a form on Wednesday, so if the staff ask, I'm happy to answer any questions. But basically, we just want to make people as safe as we can make them.
No questions or a motion? Have a second?
Second.
Ms. Carlisle?
Yes.
Ms. Crenshaw?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. Russo?
Yes.
Mr. Turakia?
Yes.
Lori, could you take us through the next part of the agenda?
Sorry, what?
Could you take us through the next part of the agenda, personnel committee?
Sure. I don't have a personal report this evening. And the director and fiscal officer had their reviews, and the board is recommending the mentioned salary increases.
Could you tell us a little bit about the process?
Oh, the process. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. So the process for the evaluation of the director and the fiscal officer was. There is a survey that goes out to the AHC staff. These are the direct reports to the fiscal officer and to the director. They provide feedback on some of the competencies that the director and the fiscal officer are some of their competencies that they have in their jobs. And then the board does their own evaluation and have their own form. Which obviously would be different from the staff evaluation forms. And I'm assuming that with the combined feedback from us and from how you evaluate the two, you come up with a performance review.
Anybody else on the personnel committee want to chime in and comment?
We met with Nancy and Debbie to go over the results. Last week, summarizing the comments that were made and the qualitative results for stating what we recommended for the salary increase.
Do we have a motion?
A motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Ms. Crenshaw? Ms. Carlisle?
Yes.
Ms. Crenshaw?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. Russo?
Yes.
Ms. Shorakian?
Yes.
No friends report because the friends aren't here.
Suzanne was here.
She's representing.
Okay.
I'd just like to remind everybody about our two for one sale this month. These two books are $2 for $1. And we were given a collection of Tarrant County University District Professor gave us these books. And it took us two trips to his house to bring them all back. They're in beautiful shape. Taught history, American history, taught class on immigration, and he taught some South American history.
Are these all upstairs?
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Thank you. President's report. That's me. So we've been redoing the buildings a little bit at a time. So I'm looking back 10 years. This is how long I've been on the board. It's been longer, but we've hit every building and done some kind of an improvement. You know, everything from the Noble build-out to the Coventry improvements we've done to University Heights, and here, of course, the H-Kick. Now we're getting to the point where we're developing a master plan to look at some overall improvements to the buildings kind of as a portfolio, which we've never really done before. And we're in the process of trying to develop a plan to approach that so we have some efficiencies in bidding these things out, perhaps. Maybe some institutional efficiencies in looking at it as a portfolio and trying to maintain these properties the right way instead of doing one off as we've been doing in the past. So we're pretty excited about going through that process and trying to come up with the master plan that the trustees will look at and hopefully approve. And we're actively trying to develop that as we speak and hope to have that developed in the next couple of months. We've hired a consultant to help us put together a plan for that. And so everyone will probably be hearing more about it when we talk about the master plan. And of course, added to that is the Coventry campus, which we didn't have before. So that's adding another piece to the puzzle that we have to take care of. So just want to kind of give everybody a heads up about that coming online and the fact that we're really going to be looking forward to getting that put together and rolled out. Second, our president put out his the White House's fiscal plan for this next year, as you may have heard. A couple of weeks ago, and one of the items that's been on it the last few years is to eliminate the Institute of Museum and Library Services. And that's been proposed the last 4 years, and unfortunately has not been successful in its removal the last 4 years. That being said, that's still something that the president would like to cut from the federal budget. And it impacts us, it impacts a lot of rural libraries, a lot of other organizations. And we'd like to continue to advocate to keep that thing in place. And ALA is a big advocate for us in that push to try to retain this institution, IMLS. What I'd like for people to do, and we'll put this in the minutes, is we need to write to our senators and congressmen about this. In Ohio, we have two senators. One of them has voted to retain this service. Might guess who it is. Senator Brown, Senator Portman, has refused to sign on to support maintaining this fund. In Ohio, there have been two congresspeople out of 12 or 14 who voted to continue with this funding. One is our Marsha Fudge, and the other one is, I think it's, Joyce Beatty from Columbus. So the rest of the congresspeople in Ohio could use a wake-up call from us, and we need to write to them. And the only time they hear from us, other than when we vote for them, is when we reach out to them like this and write to them directly and tell them what you think about things. So we're going to provide the direct link so you can write to your representatives and let them know how important maintaining the IMLS is for us. And so keep an eye out for that. That'll be in the minutes that get posted online after this meeting. Over.
put a couple of details about the MLS in my government report. So if you want fodder for your letters, you can just pick up those words and throw them on there. But we would love it if you would please write some letters, along with all the other ones you're probably writing, which I'm not sure. I did include a little picture of the Oscar-winning short film Hair Love. It's also a book, and the reason why I did it was twofold. One, Matthew Cherry is one Akronite, and so I feel like I'm close to him because I'm an Akronite. And he's also the second professional athlete to win an Oscar, and the other one was Kobe Bryant. So feeling missing Kobe and having this win, which it's such a beautiful story, and you can watch it in like 10 minutes online. It is a short. A lot of people have been sharing it on Facebook, so I urge you to go ahead and watch it. And it's just a very lovely story about a father and his daughter, which fights many stereotypes, and we're all about that. So, and I know we have the book as well. So just wanted to highlight that it is cute. We do have board member training on March 7th in Columbus, and I know that Gabe offered to attend. If anyone else would like to, please let me know, and we should probably register you this week, so this is your last call. And also, the Trustees Dinner is April 9th at the Holiday Inn in Cleveland South and Independence, and I know that we usually fill up a table with people from Heights, so if you are available, we will register and we can carpool. I cannot attend because it's Passover, but I'm sure we can get a group together to go. And I did let OLC know that it was Passover. Thanks.
Devin and I will be going.
Yes.
Shame on
them.
It's a
what time?
Usually like 6:30 or so, I think it's
right. We'll send you the information.
It's a Thursday night.
So right. I did write about palaces for the people. This is the brochure that's in our lobby. This is the one community read book that all of the libraries and the City Club and a number of other organizations are promoting for our community this year. I read a part of it. I didn't read all of it, but it is very easy to read. And the main message is that there are certain institutions that promote social infrastructure that bring people together and make them more resilient as a community. And one that he highlights very prominently are public libraries. And he tells some wonderful stories about instances where people were brought together who would normally not come in contact with each other, how social infrastructure was built for senior citizens, for children, and then goes on to talk about all these different events and just examples in modern day life that are remediated because people have social infrastructure and how important it is. Parks, libraries, any kind of the rec centers, things like that are what create social infrastructure. He is speaking at the Ohio Theater on March 9th. We will also be simulcasting it here. The library was given 30 free tickets to go to Playhouse Square to see him. I will be happy to share them with anyone who'd like to attend downtown, or you can just come right here. So please let me know. That's for anyone who wants to go. Kim and I are probably going to go, and it should be really nice. So here's the book, and if you want to come, a couple of things. As Jim said, we started work on our master plan. We've spent a lot of time touring the buildings, and Julie is working on the RFQ for an architect to do some design work. And we spent a lot of time last week trying to figure out the order of events, which is a little complicated, and also trying to estimate budgets, and we will be having a presentation by her at our committee meeting on March 6th, I believe it is, and hopefully things will become more clear. We also started work on the anti-racism task force, which is going to expand with more people. Tamika Taylor, our consultant, sent out invitations to more staff members to join, and I believe they received them today. So that group will be growing. And in the same vein, our 1619 project continues with specific topics. And I believe there was a new supplement in the New York Times Sunday magazine yesterday, with more articles that follow 1619. So clearly, as much traction as it's gotten in our neck of the woods, it's happening all over the country. You will notice, if you look around, that this room has been painted, as have all the meeting rooms in this row. And we're in the middle of installing new AV equipment. There's a little black panel on the wall there. That will be the button that we push to turn on the projector and to get everything set up, and it'll all be wireless. And unfortunately, they've had a couple of setbacks because of deliveries being late. So I've been talking to my new best friend, Dan, every day this week, trying to get him here. And hopefully they'll finish next week. And then we'll do training for the staff so they know how to use it. If it goes well here, we hope to spread it to the other branches as well, and we'll install it when we do meeting rooms at Coventry. So hopefully we're able to. We've been working on the cleaning contract. We had walkthroughs at all of the buildings. We've got a lot of exercise. I think we're going to have 10 bidders. Some of them will be just on some of the smaller buildings. A number will be on the big buildings. And we have told them that this is a management by objective project, which means they will be off the hook when we don't get complaints. And we showed them places all over our buildings where we don't think they're clean enough. We talked to them about communication and about having inspections and having them frequently. We have shared our experience that everything goes well for the first 4 months and then it kind of starts to go downhill, and that's true of every cleaning company we've ever had. It's universal. And we don't want to see that happen. And we said bid it correctly because the last company did not. So we took a lot of time. So I'm hoping that this will do us better than the former cleaning contracts. And the staff has formed a recycling team. We know that we are not recycling all that we can in our buildings. Coventry is sort of the poster child, I guess, because you have been able to collect paper from your staff and also from the public with the help of the staff. And we're working on ways to do that in the other buildings as well. The other issue we had is that we were getting conflicting information from the city about what was being recycled. It all goes into one big bin, and who knows. So we're going to try to keep it separate, and we may even come up with a separate contract for picking up recycling, just so we can say that we know that it's actually being done. That is a priority for all of us. And in the government report, we have an election on March 17th here at Lee Road and also at University Heights. So our board, for the board meeting on March 16th, we will be meeting at the Coventry branch. So I'll say it again, next month our meeting is at Coventry because of the election in this room. And we do hope that people will vote. Early voting starts February 19th. And the week before the election, it's every night until 7, and it's also on Saturdays starting now. So please, please get your vote in. I know people don't get excited about a midterm primary, but there are school levies that are very important. There are judicial races that are very important. And our staff can help you find all the information you need so you can be an informed voter. Oh, and then Toni Morrison Day. Oberlin College is going to live stream events all day long on February 18th, and they hope that the whole world will participate, which is kind of a cool thing. And also there has been a proposal in the Ohio House to name February 18th Toni Morrison Day, and hopefully that will also pass. And she's from Lorraine. Toni Morrison is not her birth name, but it's her nom de plume. And she certainly made huge contributions to American literature, and we hope that she is celebrated everywhere.
Okay, ready for the public service report?
Yes, we do.
All right. Highlights begin with adult services. The highlight that Chuck picked was a very popular and interesting World of Tea program. So that had 21 people come, which is a terrific number for an adult services program in the middle of the week. So we want to shine a spotlight on that. For circulation and continuing education are flipped this month. I didn't realize that. So the first one from the continuing education department, this month's podcast guest was somebody from the Census Bureau. As you know, we've been doing a lot of support for census outreach since this hasn't opened up yet, we did have a program earlier this week, but it was nice to also get somebody interviewed for that. And I think we're also going to have an interview with our John Carroll Biblio Radio. Thank you, Cheryl. So we've already had one podcast interview for the census. Then, looking at circulation, our passport numbers for the month of January, 83 applications, 96 photos, over 4,300 in revenue, which is great. And also, over the past couple months, all of our circulation assistants got renewed in passport acceptance. So they all went through the training back in the middle of 2018 when we first started the service, and they all had to get it renewed. So that has to happen every so often.
Every year.
Okay. All right, so we'll obviously keep up to date on that. Following that, the Coventry highlight is about a dual partnership between Noble, Coventry, and Roxborough Middle School, and just more outreach that we're doing with the schools. It's something that we're always striving for. Sometimes it's, right now I think we've got a lot of outreach in our schools throughout the system, but that hasn't always been the case, so it's nice to hear about success stories. That's the Coventry highlight. The Noble highlight is a little bit further, but it is also having to do with schools, and that is Youth Services Librarian Mary Luby started a new after-school book club at the Noble School, which is also great. And again, it speaks to all the outreach that we're doing and that persistent partnership that we're trying to continue to grow with the schools. So that's the Noble highlight of the month. The special projects highlight is that we are working to develop a partnership with Rust Belt Writers. So that started in January. They are providing composting methods for the produce that we don't give out or that's not fit for consumption during the mobile pantry months. So as Maggie reported, after the first one in January, they were able to, they had a full bin. And I don't know how big the bin is, Maggie, I don't know
it's,
if you want to.
It's like the size of a large trash can, and it's only the food that's unfit for consumption. The food that's left over after distribution goes to different shelters and emergency food pantries. So, yeah, it's just
eventually,
the detritus.
Eventually, we hope we'll be a drop-off place for the public. So we're building it up.
Yes. So that's a great partnership that Maggie worked on in 2019, and it has now come into fruition. University Heights highlight of the month is a specialized afternoon programming for preschoolers. So that's, as Sarah reports, a market that we hadn't been serving at University Heights, and so several programs were offered in January with 36 people attending. So that's nice, and hopefully we can be able to build on that, because we know that's a branch that gets a lot of families with young children. And then finally, the youth services highlight is the completion of the Winter Book Bingo program. So that went on, I think, December and January. Sam, please correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. We had 324 people, kids sign up, and then 143 completed the program from preschool through teen. So that's great, especially considering it's the first year for the program. And I imagine it's something we'll do again next year. Sam's nodding. Okay, great. Are there any questions about the highlights from January? Okay. Go on to circulation statistics. The circulation type breakdown is included, and it's pretty similar to the preceding months. So I'll just keep doing this until you tell me that I shouldn't bother anymore. Our physical circulation has been at about 89% the past few months. So we're certainly seeing increases in our e-media slowly but surely, and as more and more people get used to getting things off RV Digital and Canopy, as well as Overdrive and Blah, which are very, very strong. And then our total circulation numbers, We did go down comparing January of last year to January this year overall. Most of the decrease was here at Lee Road. UH and Coventry each had some slight increases, and Noble had a small decrease, but most of the decrease was Lee Road. So we're starting to see, now that we've had almost two full years of automatic renewals, we're starting to see things kind of plateauing and leveling just a bit. I'll move on to the visitor numbers. I was a little surprised, happily surprised, to see visitor numbers went up in January, and it was our best January since 2016. So I don't know what that was. Coventry had a big jump, Lee Road. Really, UH had a bit of more of a dip than I would have imagined, and I'm hoping
that doesn't seem right.
So I don't know.
It was working all month.
Okay, all right. Because we talked about the people counter at UH and what had happened over the fall. So we'll keep our eyes on it. But yes, we did see nice increases at all of the other locations. And then finally, meeting room revenue. This definitely took quite a hit from January of last year. So it might be sort of right-sizing in terms of revenue.
I think we'll probably end up closer to what we were in the previous year, since we're not having the groups that we're doing the union negotiations. But our attendance is still doing pretty well.
Yes, yeah, we have a lot of nonprofits here.
Right.
All right, so other questions about any of the statistics?
Unfinished business, if you want to pick up, board members, audience, nope. Any new business? All right, I guess I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those same sign. We're adjourned at 7:03.
Next meeting is March 16th at
Coventry.
All right. Thank you.